On Tuesday, the Old Fort Homeless Coalition in Fort Smith held a point-in-time count of the city's sheltered and unsheltered homeless. Though the Department of Housing and Urban Development requires a count of unsheltered every other year, the coalition voted to count both sheltered and unsheltered each year because the data will aid their efforts to open a homeless campus for the unsheltered. In 2011, there were 235 homeless. Of those, 82 were unsheltered, meaning living by the river, under the bridge, or in a car. In January of 2012, the count was 211, 65 of those unsheltered. Yesterday, I spoke with Ken Pyle, president of the Old Fort Homeless Coalition, who says that reduction in numbers could have more to do with the weather than a real improvement.
Last year, where there was like 2.5 inches of rain in the 24 hours, and what you find is that the homeless on these difficult days will band together and rent a room at a low-cost motel, or they'll double up with folks, and they'll come in out of the rain, as it were, for that period. But they're truly still homeless. But so the timing of the point and count has, or the weather with the point and count today, has something to do with the count. But in general, those numbers have stayed pretty steady between 210 and 230 for the last 3 or 4 years. May not know that the city of Fort Smith went through some difficult times back in 2009 and 2010 with regard to some of our homeless shelters wanting to expand, and we ran into planning commission denials and neighborhoods saying not in my backyard. And so the city board, after a pretty contentious community meeting led by our chief of police, he did a good job of trying to keep the contention down, but the fact is there were some strong feelings. The city appointed a homeless task force that met for, I believe, around 9 or 10 months. There were 6 citizen representatives from around the city, and there were 6 nonprofit representatives. And that 12-person task force presented a list of recommendations to the city board in May of 2010 that the board then adopted and prioritized. Basically said we need to hire a homeless coordinator, we need to figure out how to build a homeless campus, we need to do some things with city services to improve our responsiveness, we need to allocate more funds to the homeless efforts here in town. So it was really a wonderful deal. A lot of communities struggle with the political. There's a lot going on out there in the political getting away. In our case, Fort Smith got the political done up front. And we've been spending the last 2 years gathering our data, making sure we knew who our homeless were and what their services needs were. And then we've gone now to getting these grants for the homeless campus.
And these counts help you get, these counts, you're actually interviewing homeless and finding out what their needs are.
Yeah, you're not just driving down the street and counting people that look like they're homeless. Sit down and get as much information as you can from them about their medical situations, where they slept the night before, have they been homeless before, age, are they part of a family, are their family members homeless? You try to gather as much demographic information as you can, and then that goes into the homeless management information system to both eliminate duplicates and to allow us to do some studies as to what our gaps are. And for us, the gaps that have been revealed in the last 2 years of unsheltered is that we need another option for folks.
I have to imagine that it's probably difficult for people to talk about their situations. So how do you go about approaching them?
I'll tell you, it requires a lot of caring. It requires some incentives. We have a goodie bag that we offer them for sharing their information with us. A couple of years ago, and this is nothing against volunteers, but we asked people to just come in off the street and help us. And what we found was that unless you work in this area, you kind of don't know what the language is of the homeless. You have no understanding of where they're really coming from. And so you can come off a little either cold or abrupt or whatever. So the last few years, we have used people from the task force who became very familiar with the homeless situation. We've used folks that are either working in the nonprofit area providing services. That has helped us a lot. We've found that our both the quality of information we get and the number of people that positively respond has gone up.
So yesterday was it was sunny. It was a little cold. How did it go?
It went well. We had a very good response from the people. They were open and accepting. They've gotten used to seeing our goodie bag. And, you know, it's kind of like whatever it takes to get them to come in and talk to you. We had people stationed at the Salvation Army and the Rescue Mission and Next Step Day Room. And others went out and visited the camps out on the river. The anecdotal reports I had from the people that were doing it is that there was a slightly younger crowd at the Salvation Army this year. The numbers were up for the people that did this that had comparisons from last year. But until we put the numbers into the computer and resolve the duplicates, you really don't know. So that'll take us about another month before we have the data reduced and collated.
All right, what else?
I was going to say that, going back to the task force, one of the biggest frustrations that the homeless task force in Fort Smith had was they spent months arguing over how many homeless we have. And what we needed, though, is how many beds do we have versus how many beds do we actually need. And so that's why we've decided to do this unsheltered and sheltered count each year. It was important. It's important for communities to have numbers that are defendable, that you aren't worried about somebody come up and saying, well, you know, last year it was 200, this year it's 300. Is it really that much worse, or do you just count differently? We think we've got a pretty good system here, and we have people that are experienced at doing it, and that will help in the collection of the data.
This data is going to help you with the homeless campus. I have to imagine that some people actually prefer to sleep under a bridge or in one of the tent communities over living in a shelter.
I think it'd be fairer to say that given the options we have available in town, yes, they prefer living out.
Mm-hmm.
But the Salvation Army, and this is no knock on them, the Salvation Army and Community Rescue Mission have rules. You can only stay there a certain number of nights. If you're drunk, they may not let you in. Can't be high. You've got an animal, they won't let you in. They'll only let you bring a certain amount of your personal belongings. Those are all barriers to people coming in off the street. And what we're trying to do with our low-demand shelter in our campus is to have something we're labeling First Step, a place where we'll provide unlimited storage. There are only four rules that keep you from coming onto the campus. One is you can't bring alcohol in, you can't bring drugs in, you can't bring weapons, and you have to act appropriately, no violent behavior. Anything else is allowed. You can be as high as you want. You can be as drunk as you want. You can leave sober and come back an hour later and be drunk and we'll let you in. You can't bring any alcohol. We don't want people living in the street because their medications are not controlled. There's just so many debilitating things that happen living out there. Some people, no doubt there are some veteran homeless, if you will, not military veteran, but people who are experienced at living out there that keep themselves hydrated and all that other stuff, but the heck of a lot of other folks are dehydrated and sleeping well, and they're worried about being raped or assaulted. It's a rough environment.
Sounds scary.
Yeah, and people that have this romantic view of living out under the stars and how wonderful it is, go try it. If we had another choice, I think the vast majority, we won't get 100% into our low-demand shelter, but we'll get most of the folks.
And you said that the timeline for this?
We are, applying for various grants and funds through both the federal and local We hope to purchase a building at 301 South E Street sometime this fall, commence the renovation shortly thereafter, and we would hope to be up and operating sometime in 2014, probably mid-2014.
Okay, well, I look forward to following it.
Thank you very much, Christina,
okay.
And we appreciate your interest.
That's guitarist David Gilmour from his CD Unified Presence. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg. This Saturday on Shades of Jazz at 10 p.m., I'll feature music from David Gilmour. We'll also hear trumpeter Terrell Stafford, guitarist John Schofield, saxophonist Greg Osby, and much, much more. That's the Saturday edition of Shades of Jazz at 10 p.m.